Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show and happy National Day of Prayer. More about that in a minute. But I also want to let you know, because I don't think I mentioned it on the show yet, that last month at the Evangelical Press Association Conference, Boundless took home a couple of awards and we're pretty excited about them. First off, in our category, which was digital in the youth kind of young adult category, we got first place for our website for content and variety and addressing the audience, which is you guys. So all of our contributors and you, our audience, helped make that possible. And then also a huge shout out to Joy Beth Smith, who got first place for her blog post, Fat Single Christian. We all know when that came out, it was super awesome, super transparent of her to put that on the table. She did, and she got first place for it. So congratulations to Joy Beth Smith. All right, back to the show for this week. Later on, our inbox, Joshua Rogers is here to talk to a girl who is torn between two guys. Hello, must be nice, whatever, to just have options. Okay, but Joshua will talk to her about that. And then for our culture segment, Paul Miller is here to talk about his book, really becoming a classic, called A Praying Life. And this is what some describe as one of the most accessible, practical ways to address prayer in your own life. So you're going to want to hear what he has to say. And we are here for our roundtable. We've got Jake, Brandon, and Ashley here. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello. What up?
All right, well, we're going to talk about prayer. We won't spend the whole 20 minutes praying, but we prayed before we started taping
Let's all pray silently for 20 minutes, guys.
For our unspoken requests. Yeah, I hate it when people do that. I have an unspoken.
I know.
Unspoken. Whatever, that's just my own personal.
Like, if Jesus knows, why can't we know?
I know.
Right, it's like, what, did you murder someone?
Because I want to know. Oh, dear. But, okay, we're gonna talk about this whole concept of what it means to pray. I think prayer is one of those things that is intimidating for many, difficult for most. And so what does that mean? Because obviously, Jesus himself was the perfect prayer, having taught his disciples how to pray, communing with the Father all the time. And you know what? I guess if you are God, talking to God is going to be a little bit easier than the rest of us. But I want to kind of kick it off here because let's just share general thoughts about when you think of the idea of prayer. In fact, I just did a spiritual gifts assessment for church. We were doing another one in our community, Sunday school community. And prayer came down lower on the list for me, which made me feel very unspiritual. I'm going to be honest, but I'm putting it out there to let you know that I'm not a superstar prayer. But when you guys think of prayer, is it something that you think of as something you have to work on, cultivate, kind of grow in, or does it just come more naturally for you?
I feel like it depends on the season of life. Like, there have definitely been times where I felt like it was supernatural and where the Lord was just like on the forefront of my mind and I wanted to talk to him all the time. And then there have definitely been spiritual droughts and seasons where I've been super busy and I put other things first and it's a lot more work.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of just depends.
Mm-hmm. I totally hear what you're saying, because that I feel as soon as you started saying that, I was like, yeah, when my life is super screwed up, prayer is a lot easier for me. Then I'm like, Jesus. Okay, Brandon.
It's like exercise. The more I do
that
it,
okay,
the easier it is, the
way
less
to throw
I do
the
it.
The exercise card, whatever.
Well, we've already discussed that we're all terrible at both of these things.
Yeah,
except
exactly.
For Brandon, who's great at both.
That's true.
We can't focus on both, Brandon.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So for me, it is like exercise. When I don't exercise and then I go and do a workout, I'm really sore and tired, and it's kind of like prayer is the same thing. It just seems to be a little more difficult to just be, I don't know, consistent. It kind of goes against kind of what the article was talking about, that maybe I put too much pressure and it has to be some eloquent type of prayer, which the article said, you know, it's as simple as the Lord's Prayer. That's really it. But I think I can equate it to just that practice, and the more consistent you are with it, the easier it seems to be.
Yeah. Brandon's referencing an article that we threw out here to the panel from Relevant that is titled, "You're Probably Overthinking Your Prayer Life," which, yeah, probably true. But what about you, Jake?
Yeah, for me, it's interesting because my parents were always pretty big on, you know, it's a conversation between you and God. You don't need to overthink it. You don't need to worry about the words. But when I kind of came of age in junior high and high school, it was in a large church that emphasized these long, very involved prayer times, like hours of praise and worship and open mics. So you could come and pray and be fiery and have words of encouragement and prophecy. And And so there was always like in that setting, it was cool, but you're hearing these prayers and then you start to feel this pressure to be like, all right, how am I going to top that one? Like, what kind of word can I bring? And you're like searching your Bible for a great scripture to feel led to share. And
they just quoted three chapters of Isaiah in their prayer.
Like, yeah. Let's just read through Isaiah, the whole book right now. But for me, the most powerful times of prayer that I recall having in my life that were the most encouraging and uplifting and where I could feel God just ministering to me and moving in me was literally standing in left field playing baseball. Like in the springtime at the foothills of Colorado, just out in the outfield, nobody could hear me, and just talking to God.
Until that fly ball comes out and you completely lost it.
And then it was like angels in the outfield. Yeah. Like I'm praying as I'm chasing. No, you'd snap out of it. But it was just these little moments. And so those... even with these epic prayer meetings that I used to go to, those little moments, those quiet moments were always the most meaningful.
Yeah. So this idea of, you know, if you were to put too much emphasis on the right way to pray or overthinking your prayer life or making it kind of a rote practice or whatever, what does that mean for you? When you think of the idea of like prayer becoming hard or being something that it really isn't, what are your biggest kind of hangups in that area?
I think that comes a lot with praying. For me, when I've prayed in groups, sometimes mm-hmm. where you're thinking about what is the other person going to think when I say this, or you're thinking more about like kind of like what Jake was saying, the words, or kind of outdoing the next person, or trying to say something different than what the person next to you just said. And it's not really so much focusing on I'm talking to God. Mm-hmm. Like this is about He sees my heart and He already knows what's on my heart, and mm-hmm. it's not so much about like the experience or the encounter with God as it is like a I don't know, just saying the words to make everyone else think I'm a good Christian. Mm-hmm. That's when I think it's hard.
Or getting in, like when you're praying in a circle with people or whatever, and you're like, okay, I've got to weigh in at least once or twice here, or they're mm-hmm. going to be, you mm-hmm. know, like, why isn't she praying? What's their problem?
Right.
So mm-hmm. you like start ticking off like a tally sheet your yep. number of times prayed. I've been there.
Yeah, it's good, I think, to have a habit of prayer. I think it can be too easy for us to ignore it altogether if we don't have like time set aside for it. But I think on the flip side, it is too easy for it to become rote to it. It's like, hey, I say my prayers at mealtimes and bedtime mm-hmm. and that's yeah. it. Mm-hmm. And, but hey, I've got my prayer life going. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that's hard to get away from because mm-hmm. it comes out of a good heart of wanting to make sure we're thanking God before our meals and stuff like that. But too often, I think that can kind of become our stand-in for praying elsewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. Kind of those standard, we've developed these standard times to pray. And then when we should be constantly praying, you know, there's lots of situations throughout the day that impact us where we don't pray where we should. And so it's just, we get so focused on these times that we need to do it. And I'm definitely more of an introverted prayer-er, so I have mm-hmm. a hard time in a group. And, you know, so then you are thinking, okay, I have to say something. Mm-hmm. And it's just all those emotions of, you know, I start sweating and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. But even then, like even in the, depending on where you work and if that's built into your culture at your organization and stuff too, then you feel like, okay, I have to participate. Mm-hmm.
And this is where like, I always like to come back to an old classic of like the practice of the presence of God. What is prayer anyways? Is it, you know, how I go about doing things and communing with Him just like I'm working with Him all day, but not in like a weird ethereal way, but just in a very mm-hmm. practical mm-hmm. present, you know, the practice of the presence mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys haven't read that book.
It's great. Brother Lawrence.
Like, get on it.
I feel like it's kind of similar to like a marriage where like the husband and wife, they might be together and they're not necessarily always talking, but they're like with each other, they're communing with each other. And, you know, maybe saying like a few things here and there. But then there's always that time where you need to have the date night where you kind of yeah. get together and really share your heart and really connect on that deeper level. And I think it's the same thing with God. Like we're there with Him communing all the time, you know, maybe saying something to Him here and there. But then it is really important to still have that time of solitude away to just really connect your heart with the Lord and just be the two of you getting on the same page and having that deeper those deeper moments where you can just be really real and raw and not thinking about what someone else is going to think of what you're saying or, you know, any of that.
Mm-hmm. I think I've also felt pressure because I feel like growing up, it was kind of taught in books and curriculums and stuff that, you know, oh, don't just be asking for stuff all the time. You know, make sure you do, like everyone always preached that acts, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, something, you know. And so then I had to make sure, okay, I need to get some ACT in so then I can start asking for stuff. And I remember a pastor saying not too long ago, you know, God wants us to come to him with our requests. Mm-hmm. And even starting out right there is probably good motivation to pray, and it's good practice for prayer. And it's like, you know, God's not sitting there going, she was a little, you know, low on the C, so I don't know that I can really listen to her. And I don't know. I mean, have you had any, you know, historically throughout your life, any either prayer helps or hangups that have kind of helped, you know, gotten you in your prayer life or whatever? I know prayer journaling has been big, you know, stuff like acronyms like the ACTS or different, you know, going into a prayer closet, blah, blah, blah. Has anything helped you grow in your prayer life or been kind of a stumbling block, either or?
Interestingly enough, in the article that you referenced from Relevant, the author talks about how like, kind of an aha moment for him was having kids. And that has actually happened to me multiple times since having kids, because your kids go through so many different seasons of prayers. And so, like just listening to the prayers of others, I found like I've learned actually from my kids' prayers, reflecting that listening to the prayers of others has often been helpful for that for me, because I've heard so many, you know, I've heard the ones that are long-winded and full of bloat, and I've heard the ones that are simple where someone, you can tell someone's just talking to their father. And so, but then checking my own heart when I'm hearing other people pray, oftentimes like God has taught me stuff about my own prayer life when he's caught me and convicted me for judging other people's prayers. And so I think sometimes it's good to kind of reflect on where's your own heart and mind jumping when you hear other people's prayers? Because sometimes I think God's trying to teach us something in the midst of our own preconceived notions there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I really like prayer journaling. I think it helps me just to figure out what I'm even trying to say when I can write it out and sort of read it back and say like, okay, this is what I'm trying to communicate to God. And it helps me to stay focused because it's kind of easy to get distracted if I'm not. So I like doing that. And then a couple years ago, I read a book by Tim Keller called Prayer, which I highly recommend. It was an awesome book. But he talks about the importance of using scripture in your prayers and reading through the Psalms and then actually like taking time to meditate on that before praying, just to kind of get your heart in the right place. And that's been really powerful, too, because you just, I don't know, it kind of makes your heart warmer towards God and kind of puts you in the right posture before him, is how Tim explains it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those two things have been really good.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. I have to be moving when I'm praying by myself.
That's good. Yeah.
Because I do. I get distracted. I always tell people, even at night, like I'll literally fall asleep. Like if you pray before you go to bed, like I'll fall asleep and I won't even get through it. And I just, you know, there's so many things. My mind just kind of can't stay focused. But if I'm out walking or running or, you know, just something where I'm moving, that's usually when, for me, it's more, that's when I find it's more of a conversation, almost like God will kind of convince or put something on my heart in those situations. And so it's changed it from used to be just, I felt like I was always just asking or praying, but to also incorporate kind of that listening and that quiet time. And I think that can be also a part of prayer as well, as just that silent meditation and kind of just seeing what God might tell you during that time too.
Yeah. So one thing I did a few years ago that I thought was going to be kind of hokey, but it ended up being good, was I'd gotten this book. I think it's called Your 100-Day Prayer. And it was kind of to take something that, you know, there are those big things in life that we just feel like God's never going to answer or they're just too big for us or whatever. So it was to take something kind of big, you know, whether the salvation of a friend or family member or praying for marriage or praying for whatever, and pray for it every day for 100 days. And it kind of walked you through that process and asked you kind of questions. And then there was a space, Ashley, for journaling, recording prayers. What's cool is I did that, kept the book, and now I go back and reflect on what I wrote and just see where God was kind of answering little bits and pieces here and there. And I thought that was a really good exercise for something like that. I don't think I'd ever prayed 100 days in a row for anything before. So, and just the discipline that it cultivated in being able to do that, I thought was pretty good. What would you guys say? Can you think of anything in your life recently or in the past? Doesn't matter where I'm just reminded, my mom always was known for saying the best motivator for prayer is answered prayer. Mm. And so the idea of like when you see God work or when he shows up and you were surprised, you know, like we're always surprised because we just truly don't believe that God really can do what he says he can do, people. But where would you say God has answered prayers in the past that you kind of almost see as standing stones, like, oh my word, God really showed up in that one, or I wasn't, you know, big or small, I wasn't expecting it or whatever.
One cool thing about journaling is that I can read back through and see a lot of the things that I forgot that I prayed for. I just remembered, you know, oh, this happened, but I had forgotten that I had asked God to do that. So that, I actually recently was reading through all my journals, just looking back through all the things I had prayed for my future husband. And now that I'm getting married, as I was looking back through it, like, wow, God answered all these specific prayers. And I didn't even know that what he was doing this work. And then hearing from John, like what God was doing in his life during those same seasons of life. Just it's really cool to look back and say, like, wow, God was answering my prayers and I felt like he wasn't listening. And so that's definitely one huge one. And then another one I'd say is moving me out here to Colorado, because it just sort of felt like I was in a rut and I felt like I wanted God to do something big with my life, but it seemed sort of impossible. And then he just worked out all the details. And so as I was reading through my journals recently, I was rereading through that whole time of like, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And don't you have a plan for me? And all those kind of things. And so now looking back, I'm remembering, wow, God really came through for me. And so it's really cool to see that.
That's awesome.
For me, there's an individual a friend that I met in junior high, and we played football together. And I just remember he was, you know, a small guy with the loudest mouth, you know, the most obnoxious, braggy, and, you know, kind of just rude. But my mom loved him. My mom thought, like, she saw something behind that, and she thought he was great and was fun. And she's like, I just, you're like, you gotta just pray. We gotta pray for him. We gotta pray for this guy. And so we would, and I kind of was like, oh, mom, he's just crazy. Like, don't worry about it. But we would pray for him. And, you know, we kind of, you know, played football together kind of and sports together through, you know, for like 3 or 4 years. And then, weren't around each other. He stopped playing sports and stuff like that. But then it was really cool. A couple of years later, ran into him randomly and found out like he got saved. You know, this is like 6 years later. And now he's married and he's raising a family and he's really just got this strong, thriving faith and a complete like different person than the kid I met, you know, in junior high. And just remembering how, you know, we would pray for him and my mom would pray for it. Like he has such a great personality. He'll do so many great things for the kingdom. And so it's so awesome now when his stuff will pop up on Facebook or on Instagram and I get to see him raising his family and living his life for the kingdom and remembering my own little faith when I was kind of like, oh, mom, this is silly. But it's really cool and encouraging now to remember that and to pray for, to be like, okay, who can I pray for like that now?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain. Definitely probably, you know, my fiance too, just more of the qualities that I was looking for in a girlfriend and then in a wife, you know, just having been in some not so good relationships and seeing things that I didn't want and just starting to really kind of pray specifically for those qualities that I was looking for. It's probably the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking I've had some definite like just deliverance prayers, you know, those ones where you're just like, Lord, you know, crying out. I had one, I had a series of bad breakups, and it was like the third in a row. And I remember just thinking, I'm going to be devastated by this. And just thinking like, Lord, I would really just love, I don't feel like I have the emotional and physical capital right now to grieve this for 3 to 6 months, as I probably will do. And I remember just blasting praise music and crying out to God. And the next morning I woke up and did not have a thought one way or the other about that relationship. It was almost like a miraculous healing of sorts, like an emotional, it was crazy. And not that I haven't just sobbed over other ones, people. So I'm not saying this isn't all of them, but it was that one. And then others would be like again, even my career trajectory, you know, never thinking as I was going through, you know, doing what I did, I was always like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I never had awesome plans or anything, you know, super that translated into a job, but always just walked where God wanted me to and really did stuff that I would never expect having done. So kind of a fun place to be. But well, I think the encouragement for all of us and for everyone out there is to just to start, you know, take that next step. Start right where you are. Say something. I mean, for me, it's like usually driving in my car, I'll just give a little shout out like, hey, God, you know, blah, blah, I remember this, or, you know, or just commenting on something or praising him for something or whatever. And sometimes, you know, I may be more able to sit down in a spot and go through a list of things or some people that I know I want to pray for specifically. But I think simplifying prayer and making prayer real really comes down to making it, as you guys said, a true conversation between a father and a child. And but the best part is it's a father who actually like knows what's up and can do something about it. So and it's all good.
I was gonna say, I love the way like the story of the prodigal son ends when he's talking to his older son and he just says, son, you're with me always and everything I have is yours.
Yeah, so true. Thanks, you guys. Great thoughts on prayer.